Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap, they gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not so much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Only once every 3 years on Sunday we have the Sermon on the Mount, which is the description of how Jesus lived, the description of how he wants his followers to live, insofar as we're priests, consecrated women, a fortiori the way he wants us to live. It's got to deeply sink down. When Ash Wednesday is late, we're able to get most of this discourse. This year, we've had 5 of the 6 weeks. Next week, if it was the 9th Sunday of Ordinary Time, we'd get Jesus' conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, basically saying we will be wise if we build our whole life on what he says, like a wise builder builds a house on a rock, rather than just hearing it, letting it slip out through the other ear, which would be foolish, like a person who built his house on sand at the bottom of a ravine that would be swept away when the torrential downpours came. And so it's important as we come to the end for us to examine how the Lord is building a crescendo here and giving us the confidence to trust that God, who calls us to live this life, will provide everything we need to do it. And so, in other words, it's a prism for us to reread interiorly the Beatitudes and ask if we trust the Lord enough to be poor in spirit because we treasure him above everything else, to mourn over others' misfortune rather than to just seek pleasure, to be a peacemaker and to be meek rather than someone who bulldozes others, to be pure of heart rather than someone who's needy, constantly seeking others' affirmation, others' attraction, etc. Whether we want to be Miss Congeniality or most popular, or whether we are capable, out of love for God, of being persecuted, hated by all, just like he was, just like the prophets were, just like the apostles were, for the sake of the kingdom. wants us to hear anew and ask if we trust enough to live up to what he wants us to be, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. He wants us to examine anew whether we're just living the faith on the outside or really on the inside. It's not enough, he tells us, to do what the righteous people in the world do. They don't murder anybody, but they hate. He calls us to a higher standard. They don't commit adultery in the flesh, but they do in the heart. He calls us to a different standard. They don't outright dishonor their parents, but they'll selfishly keep things to themselves by just saying a simple word, korban, as if it's really dedicated to God when they're neglecting simple responsibilities. Jesus calls us to his standard of loving even those who have made themselves our enemies, of sticking up for our dignity without vengeance by turning the other cheek so that we can't be slapped on the other side, but that we don't give him a noogie in the noggin in response. Jesus today wants us to look on whom we're really serving. And he lays a absolute crystal clear foundation. We must choose between serving God, the one true God, or some other God. The most popular one was Mammon. You might know that the word Amen and the word Mammon are the same root. Mammon was originally what we would call today more or less collateral, that you would give to someone else as a trust that you would be good on the promissory note that would be given to you. But eventually this entrustment to another as an external sign that you will be good to your word became idolized in a sense and became a different source of trust. God wants us to trust in him and not on material goods, not even so much on our words or on others' words. But we have to choose. And in order to help us to choose, he wants us to be able to get over our worrying. For us as Christians who recognize that we've got a loving Father, that must become consequential in the way we go about our day-to-day life. That's the reason why after Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and Mammon, he says, therefore, if we're really going to serve God, don't worry. And then he gives us the greatest worries of all, the real basic worries that we should have. Are we going to starve to death? Are we going to die of thirst, dehydration? Are we going to be naked and exposed for everybody to violate and mock and be frozen? Are we going to be homeless? Those summarize at a basic level the worst of all worries. Every other worry is basically small compared to that. Jesus tells us, do not worry. But trust. Trust in the Father, which is the opposite of worrying. He gives some beautiful examples. The Greek here says, take a long look at the birds of the air. They're hardworking, but in a sense, you've never seen any of them with a sign saying, help me, I'm starving. Somehow God feeds them. When you think of the deer, none of them are starving to death. When you think of the animals that God has created, you've got to have an epic famine before any of them goes without. Take a long look. Not just a superficial glance, a long look. And that long look is not just with your exterior eyes, but the eyes of your heart to see. If God cares for them and loves you much more, won't he care for you? So don't worry. And he says, take a long look at the poppies and the anemones of the field. They don't sow or reap, and yet not even Solomon's greatest tailors could clothe them the the way that God, the omnipotent tailor, has. And if God does that for them, and He loves you more, will He not likewise provide? For us, it's so key that we grasp, as St. Paul wrote to the Romans, that if God the Father didn't even spare His own Son, but handed Him over for us all, He will in fact give us everything else besides. So if we're not going to worry, but we're going to trust, how's that practically going to be lived out? He summarizes it in words that I think must be absolutely fundamental to anyone whose vocation is to help Christ's kingdom come, and to help the whole world to enter. Strive. Not just seek. Seek can be sometimes a weak verb, but the Greek there is agonize. Agonize for the kingdom of God. Seek it with all your energy, the way Tom Brady seeks another Super Bowl ring. Agonize for the kingdom of God and God's holiness, being right with God. Let that be your big concern, and everything else will be given you besides. Do we trust in God enough to make that our sole obsession, and to allow all our worries to be taken away? Most of us, frankly, don't. We hear these words with part of ourselves, we believe them, but when the going gets rough, we worry to a large degree like everybody else does. And that's why God, who loves us so much that He didn't spare His only begotten Son and will give us everything else besides, gives us the extraordinary caress of needing to put these words into action. He puts us in situations where we need to trust in Him and open up our hands and ask for some help, but He comes through. He drove this point home for me one of my first months in seminary. I was forced to work for the diocesan summer camp, in which they generously gave me $1,400 for something like 1,400 hours. And it was out of that that I had to pay for my car insurance. $500 of taxes were taken out as well. So out of the $900 I was able to earn in a given year, I had to pay for several trips in a car back from Mount St. Mary's in Maryland to Massachusetts. I had to pay for all the gas. I had to pay for all the books. I had to pay for all the other incidentals. No way it was happening. I had a little bit of money left over from college, but that was soon exhausted. And I get a bill from Citibank Visa for $74.27. And I didn't have it. It's humiliating. Didn't have it. I have a Pantocrator icon that I still have to this day there in my room in the seminary. And I just turned to Him and I said, "Jesus, You promised." As I was losing so many follicles every night on my pillow, I said, "You promised that You've numbered every single one of my hair. You promised that if we trust in You, You would not let us down. Show yourself a dad. I need it now." There were some other envelopes underneath that bill. There was an address from Attleboro, Massachusetts. I didn't know anybody in Attleboro. I was wondering why somebody was sending me something. I opened it up. It was from a group called the Sarah Club, which I had never heard of at the time, of vocations promotion. And they wrote me a nice little letter saying that they were praying for me, and they included a check inside. You want to guess how much the check was for? It wasn't for $74.27, because God is generous, but it was for $75. And I looked, and I just said to Jesus and the Pantocrator, "Thank You, I get it. You have been faithful in little things. Greater things will be asked." But God puts us in those circumstances in which we have to trust, so that we can make the choice not to worry, but to abandon ourselves into His providential hands. And once we do, how does that impact our practical life? In today's second reading, St. Paul, talking about our Christian life, says that we're servants of Christ and stewards of God's mystery. Servants and stewards. We're supposed to use whatever God has provided to us to serve Him and to become good stewards of all his mysteries, including the mysteries of his providence, including the mysteries of his grace given to us, not just for ourselves, but for others. It leads to a whole different type of living. And that's the life of a Christian. Is this what we're going to make as the rock of our life? God precisely wants to strengthen us to do so. So today, he's asking us to make a choice. Do we recognize that God loves us greater than any mom nursing a baby loves that child and provides? And if so, will we worry about what we are to eat, or instead seek his kingdom and hunger for every word that comes from his mouth? Will we worry about what we are to drink, or recognize he had Moses strike a rock and it gave forth water? And he told us to seek for the living water that will well up within us to eternal life, that the Son of Man will give us. Will we worry about what we are to wear, or will we rejoice in the baptismal garment with which he has invested us on the inside, and clothe ourselves in the armor of God, all those virtues that St. Paul describes in the letter to the Ephesians? Will we worry about where we are to sleep and stay, or will we instead abide in him who is, as we hear in today's psalm, our shelter, our rock, our stronghold, our salvation? Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we recognize that God the Father has not just given his Son, but gives his Son to us every single day. He gives us his greatest treasure, so that his Son might become our treasure. And if God gives us this gift, everything else we need is just really, really small change. So let's resolve today not to worry about anything anymore, because the Father cares and will show himself a dad. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.